You're listening to Sports and Life with Cameron Datsker, right here on LA Talk Radio.
All right. We are on the air.
Hey!
Welcome! Woo! Welcome! Woo-hoo! We got Exciting. News. What a week it was.
It's been
Harvey Weinstein goes to Europe for help. I think he's going to get well.
No, I heard he's been in Arizona.
No, he went to
Why? I thought
Rome.
That he was going
to went
be
to Roma. Roma.
He went to Rome for help and sex addiction. That makes no sense.
That makes no sense, so that's a news at 11.
I think he's going to take pinching 101.
Yes, exactly.
No, he did that already.
Definitely. Didn't he molest an Italian model
anyway? Yes, he likes Italian models.
He's just going to go back to the place where he's going to cause more sexually explicit crimes.
Yes.
His I think wife it's legal left in him. Italy.
I don't know
yeah,
why.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, it's not unwanted in Italy.
Like, she didn't know he was doing this all this
yeah,
time.
Yeah, she must have done.
But now that it's out in public, she has to do make a, you know.
Make a thing. But you know what thing. I have a feeling what's going to happen?
What?
He'll come back like OJ, and he'll be on. He'll do a film, one for women.
I just think it's creepy.
Oh, dear, it's very creepy.
Yeah, he's creepy. And you know what? He's not the only one. I've heard of other people in this industry.
Oh,
but you know
stop.
What it is? It doesn't get reported. It doesn't get reported.
No, it doesn't get reported.
And
tell
a lot
it,
of women are coming out, which is good. But where were they, you know, years ago about Hart? You got it. You know what the thing is? Like, this is our acting lady. She knows. Amber Martinez!
Hi, guys! Martinez. It's great to be
long
back
long time no
again.
See.
Oh,
long
I like 2 weeks?
Long time no see.
I was filming.
If now, you've seen crazy producers, directors.
I have.
Okay.
I mean, everybody has.
Have they tried to do the things that Harvey does?
Well, I've never had anything as creepy as what
I've read the Harvey.
What I've read about Harvey doing. But of course, I've had men approach me in inappropriate manners.
Did anyone say to you, I'll give you a role?
Unfortunately, it comes with the business.
Yeah.
Honey, it's in every business. When I was young and thin like you, I got the same kind of treatment back in the 70s.
Yeah, they do that.
Yeah, in fact, 80s too. My one boss was horrible.
In fact, what
yeah,
I was going to say.
Yeah, that's true. It happens in all work environments.
They had a wonderful article in People Magazine. Just got my new People Magazine about more about Harvey, and it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. Well, you know, they got some magazines, you know. And Harvey, by the way, what's really interesting was when you cover a lot of these award shows, like the Emmys, he was always there.
Of course.
I never forgot when Rose McGowan hid in one room. He was coming out. She was coming out. But the Rose McGowan thing, I think if she was being raped between you and me and the lamppost, you would report to the police, right?
Right.
Well, not necessarily. Because,
she was
I mean, did
about
you.
Her job.
Yeah, did you listen to the audio recordings that were
posted
about him? How he, like, swore on the lives of his children and things like
did
that?
Did he really?
That's
my God.
It's really demented. If you listen to it, it's really crazy. And he's, like, when you listen to the audio, he's a very aggressive person. I would be very afraid if I was her. I mean, I
he wants 5 minutes.
Talk,
didn't
you know,
he have mafia connections or something?
Her,
is he murdering corporations?
You know, she was probably afraid of her career, that he could ruin her, you know, and if she spoke out, who would believe her because he's this powerful person.
Right.
You know, so
you can't believe her.
I totally believe that could have happened, and that, you know, that's very unfortunate if it did happen, because that's very disturbing. That how many women he got away with doing that to?
Oh, there were so many of them.
So many. You know what? The one I was surprised with.
That he should be in prison. He should be in prison with the other
beat him
rapist.
Up. And you know who beat him up? Who hit him? Brad Pitt.
Oh yeah,
Brad Pitt beat the crap out of him.
What? Brad Pitt hit who?
Hit him.
Hit
Harvey.
When?
And Harvey. When he approached Gwyneth Paltrow, he went over at a meeting.
When did
that was an old story.
Really?
Because Harvey would go to these, you know, they have, Amber remembers when she came out here, go to the red carpet. You'll meet everyone on the red carpet. And you go to these things. Some of them are legit. Some of them are not.
Mm-hmm.
And you go to them. You meet these people and they go, you know, I'll get you in the film.
Oh, yeah.
And they've done films like The Water, Zip, 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 stuff you never want to see or whatever. And a lot of these people, these young girls, because they want to get in the biz, they go to these opportunities. It's crazy.
So Brad Pitt came out and said he
Brad
hit
Pitt
him in the face?
Hit him.
What did he say happened?
He said he went to, he was dating in those days, you know, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Okay.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But no one likes her anyway in the industry, but that's another story. But anyway, he was dating her, and the father got wind of what was going on with Harvey. Harvey was a nudge. He was a nudge, is what people tell me. He wouldn't stop. And then if he did his movie,
the audio, he you owed him really something. Aggressive.
You owed him something if you did the movie. That's what I've heard.
You work for him,
interviewing
but you
some
still
actresses
owe him
this week. I heard the same theme
of the delusions.
And you know, and like that was. I'm surprised you didn't talk
that's
about Martin
a club, but that's, like a
that's another one.
Oh, really?
That's another
oh,
one.
I want to know
that's
this.
That's another one that they haven't really said so much about, and there's some others down the list, and we're gonna. That's gonna be interesting.
This
that
would
be. But why don't they have an agreement? Like, if you go for
disturbed.
A casting, let me ask you a question. When you go for a casting call, because Amber goes for a lot of different film opportunities, whatever, they should have a contract. If they go to her.
Well, they have you sign an NDA, but that's like
the NBA is
not what happens.
The NBA is not, you know, the
so
agreement?
Like literally, you can't talk about what happens in that room. If
yeah,
something
that's
bad
crazy.
Happens, you sign the non-disclosure
agreement.
It's not
going to happen anymore.
You,
agree. Have
you agree. You can't say anything. Or they
what
can
about,
sue you for
let me ask
millions.
You a question. What about SAG? What does SAG think about this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, I mean, they think
they haven't it. Come out. I haven't heard anything.
I haven't heard from SAG. But I've heard from Hillary Clinton.
I mean, well,
came
it
out.
Definitely violates all the SAG after
what
laws.
Did she have to say? Because
Hillary
you know there was something on
she
the
she said
on the
she
radio.
Would take all the money she got from him and give it to charity.
Give it to charity.
Oh, she did?
Yeah,
well,
that's what she said.
Well, I believe that when I see it. But there's somebody else
well, no,
who said that if she had been elected, she would have told the New York Times to shut it down and not do the story because
right.
he's given her so much money.
Or made him an ambassador. Or made him an
ambassador. She wouldn't have.
I'm just telling
no,
you. Well,
because
who knows?
She would have to stand up but for women's rights.
Listen, I've been
oh, yeah, like she did when Bill was messing around and she
I've
didn't
been casting
the women
in
sluts,
this town.
And it was her husband
for
all the
25
time.
Years.
Yeah, that's true.
And I cast gotten, women.
I've been casting in this town for 25
okay.
years. And I want you to know that I have never, ever treated a woman that's come through my door only with the highest respect, because if you don't respect the people that come through the door, how do you expect to work with them?
Right.
That's true.
Because it causes too much tension. There's so too much subtext going on.
But not
on
only
if you
that,
don't treat them
I
nicely.
Mean, you start to get a reputation, then people are afraid to work with you. Women
exactly.
are afraid to
yeah.
approach you.
Well, they're
and afraid
that
to
they
say
wouldn't
hello.
Even come. They wouldn't even come to the
yeah,
casting
exactly.
call.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, but that. But I read. But I heard that he had them meet with female assistants and stuff, and that they would audition them first before they met with him. So one of the ladies, when an article I read, she said that she said she felt no, it was online. It was
oh no,
like,
I'm going to bring
it. Wasn't it? It was the New York Times article. She said she used to work for him, and she felt like she would maybe be procuring women for him unintentionally and not knowing, thinking she was really casting when she would be setting up meetings at like the Peninsula Hotel for him, and she didn't know all this stuff was going on, and now
oh,
she feels
God.
Responsible for these women.
Yeah, I imagine she would. I mean, you feel like you have some culpability.
So he clearly, but like,
God
I mean,
bless her, but she doesn't
okay,
technically.
So. I don't think I should say, like, I don't want to talk too much about it.
That's right,
like,
this is sad, you never
my,
know.
You know it, like, never, this is my job. Know. But I'm saying from a third-party perspective, like, if I wasn't in the industry and I'm looking at all this, it's almost like it was deliberate and premeditated because he had, like, a system.
Yeah,
you
but
know?
You know what? It feeds into the mythology of what it means to be in Hollywood.
Right.
You know? And it's really a lot of... It's really
and,
not true.
And what
I think the majority
man?
Of people who
like,
work in
I
this
mean,
business
Brad
are
Pitt.
Honorable and they do things according
yeah,
to the book.
That's
true.
So.
There's always those one or two people that do terrible things to women, but they do it to men as well.
Oh, they, yes.
And
yeah.
I'm going to
oh,
tell you...
those stories.
Yeah. And Harvey had a couple men involved, too.
Yes,
you know about
yeah.
that?
No.
What?
Listen, it sounds like he was an equal opportunity guy.
Awesome. He believes no, in everything. Anyway, let me take this call. Wait. Let me take this call. John Cameron, Sports and Life. Everyone's mellow mood. Give me my wine. No, I'm just kidding. Welcome to Cameron, Sports and Life. Welcome.
How are you?
Good. This is my conservative guy. He's going to talk about
the book oh, I'm wrote. The conservative guy. That's me.
You know what's funny? I talked to some folks that I interview that I'm going to have you on. That guy goes...
Yeah.
The guy goes, you got to remember, he's supporting Trump. Some guy wrote it. It was funny this week. What a crazy week it was in Hollywood with Harvey. Harvey, Weinstein, we're going to talk about what goes on.
Our pal Harvey.
You wrote a book about the election. He wrote about
oh,
Trump's,
yeah. the Trump's election. Oh,
it's
I'm,
called The Game.
What is it called?
What's it called? What?
It's called Game Changer.
Game Changer.
The Game Changer.
How could they get the book?
Game Changer. America's. Pardon?
How could they buy your book?
on Amazon.
Okay, because we want
but
to
they better
you.
Know the whole name, because there's a lot of books called The Game Changer. It has an addendum to it called America's Most Stunning Election in History.
Well, I'm telling you, I was so thrilled with the election because the collective unconscious shut down. Everybody was quiet in the United States. They all had shut up. Before that, it was like you couldn't even hear yourself think. After the election, it was dead silence everywhere.
No, it's true. Yeah. I was at a photo shoot, and we stopped the entire photo shoot for 2 hours because everyone was so depressed.
Oh, I was happy. I was happy I could think. He was bombarding by all this neurotic.
Well, this guy wrote a good book. Let me get back to the book.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about the book itself. And by the way, folks on our Bay Area, BBS Radio, where I was very kind to get him on the show. We're on BBS Radio live in San Francisco.
Yay.
And Los Angeles, LA Talk. And this man had to put up with living in my hometown in the valley. I told this over, it was funny. You lived in Granada Hills when you were in college, right? When you got your job?
No, I had graduated from the University of Oregon, and my first job started 16 days after I graduated with ABC in Los Angeles, and I had no one to live with, so I looked up my long-lost uncle who lived in Granada Hills.
There you go.
I had no idea where Granada Hill was. And so at 22 years old, and just out of a crazy University of Oregon fraternity life, et cetera, et cetera, I move into the San Fernando Valley with the middle class families at 22 going, oh my God, I'm in hell.
The Chamber of Commerce, don't get back at me. No. By the way, Chamber of Commerce, did you read about what happened in Granada Hills? Some idiots took the American flag and put them on fire. A young man was with the Boy Scouts. And someone took, there was a bunch of flags.
Wait, the Boy Scouts did this?
No. He, the young boy saved these flags and wanted to give it to the fire department to put them away. So someone put these flags on fire. That was horrible. Horrible, horrible thing. And that was from Granada Hills.
It's changed in the 40 years since I was there, because if that had happened when I was there, I think there were enough young family guys that would have come out with pitchforks and a torch and killed the guy.
Probably. Yeah. So tell us about your book and about why you wrote the book, and we'll get you some people to buy the book. It always helps to buy that book.
Yeah.
So tell us.
I wrote my first book. I've been writing national columns for Newsblaze and Examiner.com since 2009. Okay. I've got they told me a little while ago, it's like 4,000 columns I've written for these two websites, and interviewing people like Alan Dershowitz and you name it. I've interviewed everybody, but I decided to finally write a book on the Obama administration in 2014. And that one was called Redistribution of Common Sense. And it's a 650-page book on the Obama administration, from foreign policy to domestic, and including five chapters on Obamacare.
Right.
And I was up in my home state of Oregon last year, and I went down to see an old friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in years. And laying on the desk in his office was my book. I never read my own book. I wrote it, but like movie stars or something, they never go to see their own movie.
That's true.
I just never read it. I'd forgotten what I'd written. And he said, this was the most defining book I had ever read on Obamacare, because from the very onset of where it starts in 2010, I wrote predicting what would happen by 2017. And he said, every single thing you said in that book about Obamacare came true.
Yes.
Yeah.
And if you read the law, you could see exactly where this was going, although the law is about 2,000 pages, and it takes a little while to get through it.
Well, the Congress and Senate didn't even
bother
reading. It
was doomed to failure from the beginning. So after that book, I took a respite, and then 2017 was the most amazing election in history starting, and I knew it. How did you think? That I keep a daily.
My question to you is, how did you know that Trump would win? What gave you any indications of Trump winning?
I think that the writing began to show on the wall. Hillary took off a week in late August in the heat of the campaign after the national convention, and nobody knew where she went. And she was, I don't know where she was, at one of her rich donors' house or whatever. She was tired, and she had decided at that point, which I could kind of see through the weeds, that she was so confident. She was being told that there was no way she could lose this election, that Trump was an idiot, that he was saying all the wrong things, and she was a shoo-in, that she was like the tortoise and the hare, and she was so far ahead, she just thought she'd just take a break. And that's when I started to see the cracks appearing, because she was dealing with a guy that was being very much underestimated. You know, Trump, it can be called a lot of things, and I'm sure that a lot of them may be true, but there's one thing Trump is a very shrewd businessman. He's hired thousands of people. He's met payrolls for thousands of people and corporations. He's built something. He's a smart guy, and people underestimate him because of his flamboyant mouth and everything else. But you only have to read his book, The Art of the Deal, to get a real picture of what this guy is like.
Yeah, that's when I first met him when he wrote that.
Oh, Cassandra wanted a voice to you, Cassandra Elliott.
Yeah. Well, the other thing was, you know, he was kept alive. He was supposed to die back in the 1980s in an air crash, and he was specifically given information that he could use to see if what was happening so he wouldn't die. And I'm sorry about... Ladies and gentlemen, as I said before, the extraterrestrials have been backing him since the beginning because they have interdimensional surveillance devices in every world leader's offices and homes, and they know what's going on, and they knew that we were in big trouble if she actually got in. He was the least of the two evils, and that's who they backed, and I'm sorry, people, but people who are tens of thousands of years in the future.
You've got a lot of inside information I've never gotten from my books.
That's Cassandra, Cassandra Elliott.
I also know why. Remember a few years back during the Obama administration where there were people jumping over the fence? I had connections to Secret Service. They were not happy with the way they were being treated. The white Secret Service agents were being treated.
By Obama?
By the Obama family. The whole family was treating them badly.
Really?
That's why you had those jumping over the fences and getting in. It was kind of like, you're going to treat us like garbage? Let's see if what happened, how you feel if we don't do our job.
Right.
And then
right.
I think that straightened some of that out.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. See, we get another viewpoint.
I'm telling you.
Cameron Sports and Life. Anyway, tell us now. You talk about the Trump winning. What other factors do you think? Because he has a charisma. You know, when he does his political stomps, he has a charisma. So tell us about that. That's
Trump is a blimp in American history that happened to come along at exactly the proper time for the kind of person that he is.
Right.
That's where you saw him getting away with some of this outrageous stuff he would say at debates, calling little Marco and, he had names for everyone. No one had ever seen this sort of thing happen before. The decorum was shot to hell. He wasn't following anybody's rules.
Right.
He was not a career politician. He wasn't beholden to anybody for his contributions. He basically paid for his own campaign. He wasn't going to accept money to be president, which he hasn't. He gives it all to the Department of Interior to fix up military cemeteries, if anybody knows that.
Right. He doesn't
collect
salary at all. And he gave a lot of money to Department of Education also.
Well, there's a lot of things that the media does not want you to know about Trump. And I am not here to defend Trump, nor do I even consider myself to be a Republican these days. I think the Republican Party has betrayed the people that voted for them.
I agree with
all
you.
Of their broken promises.
Yes, I agree with you wholeheartedly.
So you're not gonna see me starting to gravitate toward the far left in any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
But I really see myself in a lot of ways like Donald Trump. I hate saying in the middle, but what I'm for at this point is what's good for America.
Right.
And I'm not including his personality or some of the crazy things he says or the insult or anything. I don't care about that stuff. I'm only caring about what he says he's going to do, and I'm hoping a lot of what he's going to do is going to happen.
Well, he did some executive orders.
He doesn't have anybody supporting him in either party.
Well,
he did some executive orders that actually are going to start fixing bit by bit the Obamacare. Because my girlfriend had Obamacare.
California is going to take him to court.
I don't think that Donald Trump wanted to use executive orders. He was downgrading all of the ones that Obama had done. I think the ones that he is doing are necessary.
Yes.
Because there's such an impasse in Congress, the bipartisanship is simply not there on anything, including what to have for lunch. It's insanity.
That's true.
Nothing is getting done.
Well, I had a question for you.
Here comes this guy with a completely divided country, and he is growing a base, which if people don't realize it, it's growing by the day. People like what this man is saying. They like what he says in his speeches. They want to follow somebody like him who is beholden to no one, who really, I believe he sincerely means it when he wants to clean up the swamp. And okay. Washington, if anybody's spent any time in Washington, they can find out that basically you can't get people to decide on what to have for lunch. You don't know how anything is done if you're there long enough.
That's true.
Everybody's got a special interest.
Well, you know, it's something what you brought up just now is true, because you would think, you know, when Ted Kennedy was around and Sue Jackson was around, they used to have compromise.
Yes.
And what I miss is the days when Republicans and Democrats would talk. And it's not happening now. And the thing is, the Republican Party is like a massacre. The Democrats are doing their massacre, and we're not talking, and we got to talk.
Yeah.
And what Trump said, I think.
Well,
you go ahead.
If you want to jump ahead,
let's jump.
Forget about the 2018 elections. Unlike the off year elections. Off presidential year elections that we've had in the past where the opposing party gains a lot of seats. You're not going to see that in 2018. You're not going to see the dial move much, except probably the GOP is going to pick up 4 to 5 senatorial seats, and the Democrats will gain some seats there, but it's going to be the Senate where you see the changes, and it's going to go towards the GOP because the Democrats...
Really?
Are the ones that have the major seats that are up for grabs. They're the ones with the incumbents in 2018 that are running. So then you move ahead to 2020, the way this country is divided. Trump is gaining more momentum. He understands the Electoral College. And you watch, in 2020, they're going to put up their party, the Democrats, because they have gone so far to the left with the money from Hollywood and the Northeast elites and all. The money is betting on the far left, just like George McGovern in 1972.
Right.
And they're going to make another mistake and put somebody up like Elizabeth Warren, who doesn't have a chance in hell of being president. And you're going to have somebody like Al Franken as their VP. And Trump's going to win 43 states.
You really think that's going to happen? You don't think they would go for a more moderate...
You're talking to the guy who predicted Trump would win in October.
That's true.
I met anybody else who did.
Oh, okay. I was predicting it, sweetheart.
And I put it in writing.
Well, the reason I ask you is because I've seen a lot of things happen in politics, because when certain things that were supposed to happen didn't happen. And in American elections, especially this, what if there was, you know, right now with Trump, he hasn't been really able to, other than gaining Supreme Court justice, nothing is really passed. He has nothing happening.
No, Trump is behind the. You're missing what's going on.
That's all right.
He has not been able to make any major improvements. He's going to have difficulty with the budget, which they have to have a budget. I'm sorry, to have tax reform. They have to get tax reform. They need it. badly. Both sides need yes. it, and they know
well,
it.
I agree.
But there's
going to
be a big fight
lazy.
Over that. There's
they're
a big
so
fight over Obamacare. The major things are being held up because both parties can't come together, and everybody's worried about their own electorate.
Sure.
In their states.
That's
so
true.
So Trump's stuck in the middle on that. But as we speak, he has already been filling federal judgeships left and right and will continue to do that for the next 3 years. He's changed about 150 different regulations, and he's trying to get it to the point where for every regulation that comes into the federal government, you have to get rid of two, which is a great idea.
Right.
I don't care what they are. They just need to be done.
Okay.
And he's also been able to get Neil Gorsuch into the Supreme Court, and he's going to have one or two more before his term ends. So things are happening. They're just not happening for what the media wants, because most of the media is against Trump.
Exactly.
Well, that is
and,
true.
They will.
That is true.
Yeah.
What you're saying. And one thing I was going to...
And that's the kind of news that most people are saying.
What I was going to tell folks is...
You know, it's
about his book.
It's very difficult to believe in what the media is telling you when an organization as large as NBC News withholds information about Harvey Weinstein that was produced, documented, ready to go, and it's squashed by the president of NBC News.
Right.
Now, why is that? And aren't they a news organization that's supposed to tell the people the news?
It's the old boys club.
Yeah. And Harvey's also a good friend of the head of NBC. So
right.
That's what's going to
protect same
with,
your buddies.
Same with ABC and same with...
Doesn't matter what level you're on. It's the same thing. Protect your buddies.
Right.
Cover it up. Who cares what happens? So it's bros before hoes, as the popular culture say. And
anyway,
this is the misogyny that still goes on.
Anyway, what I was going to say is, give us where we can buy your book, and then I've got an author calling after you. But where can we buy your book? And we'll have you on for a further length of time. So tell us where we can get your book so people can...
Okay, the name of the book, again, is The Game Changer.
Okay.
America's Most Stunning Election in History, and it can be purchased at Amazon. It's online. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that was my paid political announcement.
No,
yeah. See, Amazon I like, because we're going to do a show for Amazon.
Good.
So anytime, with Jeff Bezos, I like what you say with Jeff Bezos. He's a friend. All right, thanks so much for coming on. We'll have you back, okay? Is that a promise?
Well, thank you very much.
I'm seeing fireworks from
take
my window
care.
On a football game. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye-bye. Okay, we're going to have one of the famous UFO guys.
Oh,
and I think he's calling in. Here he is. Hi, how are you? Is this Ken? Ken Pfeiffer?
Hey, how
Ken?
You doing, pal?
I got a lady that's a UFO follows it. Like,
I don't know. You probably
Ken's
don't
MUFON.
Know.
MUFON.
Oh, you're with MUFON. Okay. Oh, I met Jan years ago with the Adventurers Club. I work with the Coalition. We're a multinational covert umbrella organization for extraterrestrials.
Amber.
Humans from the future and contemporary humans. And we've been doing a lot of work trying to do first contact, make believe first contact, because, you know, there's already been. So, yeah, I've been doing this, working with them for about 25 years. It's what happens when you get engaged to a man in black.
Man in black.
You can send me your information, and I can put it on my website as links or whatever you want.
Okay, thank you.
We got a little fireworks outside our window on Studio A.
Yeah,
the football game.
Extraterrestrial fireworks.
No, it's homecoming. Homecoming.
No, they do performance art pieces.
We had an extraterrestrial thing on one show where everything went off.
Is that right?
Yeah, it went off. Now, one other thing about I'm going to see you in Philadelphia next year, and hopefully Cassandra will go. Maybe.
Yes. Yeah, so.
Amber will go with us. I'd like to see. We're going to
be. So she's doing horror movies or sci-fi movies.
Yeah,
right?
Amber's
like,
in a new
she's
film.
Sci-fi movie.
Amber, tell them about your film. It'll be reaching back east.
Well, my film's world premiere was this past Tuesday at the Chinese Grohmann Theater, and it premiered in the main theater on Hollywood.
Wow!
Boulevard.
Congratulations.
Thank
you. Yay, Amber!
Amber, what was the name of it?
It's called Dead Aunt. It has Tom Arnold and
was he
Sean
married to like Rosie Ba?
Roseanne.
It has Sean Astin, Tom Arnold, Jake Busey, Reese Cairo, Danny Woodburn, my friend Natasha Blasek, myself.
Amber Martinez.
And it's produced, written, and directed by Ron Carlson.
Wow. Can you send Ken your...
It's about a rock band, who can't get to play at Coachella because they're not good enough, so they get hired at Nocella.
Nocella? sounds like my career.
Bunch of peyote and they drink a lot of alcohol, and then all of a sudden they start to be attacked by giant mutant alien ants.
Oh, wow.
And everything just goes crazy. Everything just goes crazy from there. And it was really exciting. And I loved working with Ron Carlson.
He's good.
I was in the desert for 3 days at the Blue Cloud Movie Ranch. And there was a live green screen and everything. So we did some green screen work. And my character hid underneath a lawn chair because apparently that looks logical when you're being attacked by
giant ants.
And then I die.
We don't want to die.
So
anyway,
but it's really fun. I mean, you can check me out on horrorpedia.com.
Yeah, we got send Ken some info.
Horror flicks and a bunch of other websites. On. And if you just Google Amber Martinez Dead Ant on Google, it'll show all these like little interview pieces and stuff and all these horror magazines across the world, world famous horror magazines. And
the world.
It's exciting.
It's funny because back in the 50s, they had an ant movie that came out.
I remember that.
Yeah, check it out. That was a pretty great movie. Oh. I can't wait to see yours. That'd
well,
be
this
great.
One's better. It has a better cast.
Well, you know,
directed by a famous director.
Well, you got the head. Ken, by the way, was promoted. He's going to be the international department for MUFON.
Yeah.
Oh, good for you.
That's great.
Congratulations, Ken. I know you work very hard. And when I go to Becky's, we're going to do a show from back in New York.
Yeah.
We're going to do one from Yoisey.
Ken, I love you because you're always fun to talk to and you always have something interesting to say. And if any of your listeners or viewers want to check out my alien movie, there's
so much out there. And as a matter of fact, I was made the international director of China and Mongolia. I'm already the director of Portugal right now. I'm about cleaning that up, and now I got China to work on, which is going. It's been keeping me pretty busy, but it's something I enjoy to do.
Good. And by the way, Ken, what's your websites so people could view your UFO stuff? He's got a lot of the UFO stuff. In fact, real quick, we're going to go over
I've got my main website is worldufophotos.org. I got, I think, over 12,000 UFO photos on there right now. I'm sitting on around 4,000 that I haven't even published yet, so I have a ton of them. Everyone is sending them to me with stories, and I steal them all from MUFON and all the other organizations out there, but I decided to, you know, why not put all of these photos on one website? So that's what I did. And my other website is worldufophotosandnews.org.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And there's about 1,500 case files on there. I try to pick out the best ones that's available, from all the UFO organizations, and I publish one every day. And my other website is kenpfeiferdiscoveries.com. That's many discoveries I made on Mars, Moon, and Saturn. There's a lot of stuff on there. I got tons of galleries, so enjoy. Just look them over and let me know what you think.
Anyway, Ken,
you have to check out the link to my movie. Then you have to go to scififilms.com and look up Dead Ant.
Okay, he's going to do that.
I sure will.
I know it's about aliens and ants. Alien ants.
Anyway,
I wanted a professional opinion.
Anyway, Ken, real quick, because of time, in Azusa, California, there was a sighting, UFO sighting.
Well, there was one downtown. I had one a few weeks ago.
Let me put that up there, Azusa. Yeah, I got one or two good ones here for you. Now, this was September 20th in 2017 in Azusa. Now, associated about 7:30, I was driving home from a local store with a friend, and I observed two large bright lights descending slowly to the foothills of in front of Azusa Canyon. I had a rocking motion. It had a rocking motion at first, and at first I thought it was a military helicopter, only to realize that these lights were far too large to be that of a helicopter. Mm-hmm.
I felt compelled to drive towards it, so I did. It was hard to navigate the road and keep my eye on the lights, so my friend started directing, and as we got closer, it appeared to land on the hill. And then one light vanished. Suddenly, our attention was turned by a row of lights that appeared above us, mm-hmm. which is kind of scary, and slightly to the left at treetop level, and we could see the outline of the vessel. Although transparent, we could tell the shape. It was dome-like, and the lights were near the bottom. I had drove into a residential and found myself in a cul-de-sac, and by the time I turned around, it flew away, and the remaining light that was on the hill had vanished. So this guy saw some pretty spectacular in Azusa, California, on September. I got one here, one more good one here for
ahead.
You.
Tell
I just I didn't send it to you, but I just came ahead. Across this National UFO Reporting Center. Might have to do with the fires there in California. It says here October 7th, 2017, of course, in Clear Lake Oaks, California. Mm-hmm. Now I believe that's about 100 miles north of San Francisco, if I'm not mistaken. And it says here my wife had just got home from work, so I opened the front door to welcome her home and remembered that I had seen a white light, twice as big as a planet, traveling from south to north the week before. Mm-hmm. I just looked up because we see strange stuff in the sky all the time Northern California, and it didn't surprise me to see something unusual. Military aircraft always fly at night over this county. The shape of it being stationary and all of the colors made me run to grab my binoculars to get a better look. At a few seconds, I thought it was fireworks, but it didn't go away and fade out. Then I thought it was a helicopter.
Wow.
Through the binoculars, and I witnessed this cluster of crystal clear round lights with amazing different colors, like indigo blue, violet, turquoise, mm-hmm. red, and yellow. All the while, the cluster was changing shape, like they were all trying to reposition themselves for the best shot in the sky. Shaped like grapes on a vine, to a string of pearls, to a wedge, to a flat line, then back to grapes again. So these things kept changing back and forth, and after approximately 10 minutes, a green light flew past it by a quarter mile at the same altitude, around 3,000 feet from north to south. And I'm a pretty good judge at height because there is a mountain across the lake from the sighting, so I thought to myself that the green light was the starboard running light of a military jet. Taking a closer mm-hmm. look at this cluster of colored balls of light frozen over the other side of the lake. And now there is a reason I thought you guys might be interested, that these lights just blinked out. So I told my wife about the killer UFO I had seen. And she said, another one? That's nice. All night we had
that
wind
up to
80 miles per hour.
We see
and
so
fires
many
broke
of them.
Out all over the place, including the sulfur fire directly below where the cluster had been hovering the night before.
Right. Well, are
I didn't
you
put
implying
two together
maybe
for a couple
effect?
Of days, and it's been wearing on me to tell someone that it might take me seriously. Thanks for your attention. So this this guy saw this cluster of lights, and I don't know if it had anything to do with these fires out there in California, but either these alien craft were checking out
the
fires.
That's by Sonoma, they tell us. By Sonoma.
I'd even speculate to say maybe they started the fires.
Well, I don't think
I don't know.
You never know. That's true. You never know. But they'd have to really land and spark.
Yeah.
You know, from the vehicles to spark to do something like that.
Again, next show.
Oh, yeah.
I had a question for you. I've been visited by our buddies, but I want to know why the sudden everyday visit. When I have nice cologne on, what they want from me. And one day, I told them, I said, get the hell out of here. I talk really crazy. Because, you know, when they follow you, they don't know when to stop following you.
Oh, please. My apartment, there's four portals in my apartment.
Yeah.
And about three interdimensional surveillance devices. I have people walking through all the time.
Yeah, that's the same thing.
One time I said to them when they came in, I said, could you at least bring a pink box of pastry or something? People come so freaking often.
That's funny. Anyway, I'm going to show you I got little cuts. Newer cuts. So I'm not a flame mignon, but anyway, that's what happened. But anyway, Ken, we're going to have you next week too. If you could come on, if you have time, we'll go further on stuff that I've seen in Europe. in China.
Yeah,
also.
That sounds good. I still have a next week. I'll talk about the Mountain View, California sighting, and also the Carlsbad. I have a couple of photos that goes along with the Carlsbad sighting, so we can talk about that next week too if you want to.
Sure, you know, enjoy having you. And by the way, Ken Pfeiffer is a member of MUFON, and also he is an expert in unidentified photos and objects. And Danny Cruz says hello to you from Washington, D.C. So I appreciate
it. Oh, yeah, I talked to Danny. Yeah, he emails me, gives me a call every once in a while. He's a pretty good guy. Yeah. I want to thank you again for having me on the show. It's an honor to be on L.A. Talk
thank
Radio,
you.
And I appreciate
thank
it very
thank
much.
Thank you. We're honored to have you anytime.
Always fun to talk thank to you.
Take care, Ken.
Thanks.
Bye, Ken. Bye.
I'll see you guys.
I
all
just
right.
Found something funny.
Go ahead, because I want to get this young man's play.
There's a Russian website, and it's like a celebrity website, and they have my movies listed on it. And apparently, my movie called Rough Night with Scarlett Johansson and Demi Moore in Russian it translates to Entertainment of Adult Girls.
Oh my god! Oh god!
It's like that sounds like a completely different movie.
Yeah, it's an old Russian movie. I have the Emma Martinez. Yet, yet, yet. What we're going to do, real quick, is what we're going to be doing.
Like I was so confused.
Next week, we're going to be at the Italian Festival in North Hollywood. Okay. We may do a live show
next week. Can we talk about the Jewish theater?
Yes, we're going to have the guy, but what I want to do.
Before we do that, I want you to know this conversation about unidentified flying objects reminds me, for many years I used to listen to Art Bell.
I used to listen to Art Bell. George Norrie does a show.
Sunday nights at midnight to like 4 in the morning. And my God, I thought it was just really interesting and fascinating because I don't care what anybody says. It's real.
Oh, it's
it
very
is
real.
Absolutely real.
Some tall white, I met two tall white alien gals in Las Vegas. They were shopping. They were out shopping in their nun costumes, and I spotted them. And,
what's this?
Oh, somebody's calling.
Yeah, come,
and they
come,
came
come
to
on.
My classroom.
Can you
yeah,
ever
they're there,
forgive
so my
me for that
knows.
Ridiculousness?
What ridiculous?
What's ridiculous? Nothing's ridiculous on live radio.
Oh, I took it through it. I try not to do that to anybody. I was trying to wait till the whole cast got here.
Oh, the whole cast. So you're doing the Italian Festival next week, right?
Oh, huh? I'm sorry, say that again?
You're going to do the Italian Festival, right? Next week?
Yes, sir. The Los Angeles Italian Festival.
Yay!
That's exactly
right. Anyway, we're going to be part of it. And I know I talked to Sam, and we're very excited about because we may do our show from there.
Oh, cool.
Week.
That'd be cool.
Which will be fun. Now, tell us about the festival.
And the Italian Museum has opened up downtown now.
Yeah, the Italian
Hall.
Now, tell us about
the
festival.
The Italian Hall,
For all my listeners, how could, you know, first of all, is it free? Is there a cost to it?
Okay. The Los Angeles Italian Festival, there is no admission. This is different than the States of Italy down in L.A. Okay.
San Junior.
I try.
Yeah.
There is no admission. Free admission here at the Los Angeles Italian Festival.
Good.
All are welcome.
Yay! I like that. And by the way, how many restaurants will be at this event?
Here's the thing. We do this at this amazing restaurant here in the parking area of Victorio's Ristorante.
Okay.
Been here 52 years in the Valley.
Yeah,
so
they
provide most of the food, and we bring in some of the specialty stuff like the gelato and the Italian ice and yada yada yada.
Yeah,
you will be feasting on Victorio's Ristorante food.
Fabulous. Right.
Where is it located so our listeners can come to this event? What's the address?
It is right on the corner of Victory Boulevard and Vineland Avenue in North Hollywood.
Real close.
10901 Victory Boulevard, 10901 Victory Boulevard is the actual address.
Okay.
But it's right on the corner of Victory and Vineland in the CVS Shopping Center.
Oh, okay, cool. I know that area quite well. Now, one other thing. You're going to have some actors there, and I didn't remember his name.
That's interesting that you say that. We are going to, first of all, we got the stunning and amazing Joe Montaigne is going to be our honorary chairman of the board.
Okay.
He promised, just between me and you and the wall, He promised to bring a few of his friends.
Okay.
And we are also going to
Jimmy Kimmel.
You know, give some in. Huh? Well,
I'll call Jimmy's buddy. I'll call Jimmy's buddy and bring him over.
Well, you know what? You give him a call, because what we're going to do is going to contact the LA-based Italian American glitterati.
Yes.
And, you know, hey, come out for a slice of pizza, and whoever shows up, shows up. But I can't imagine if they live, you know, just up these hills here, these beautiful Hollywood hills.
That's right.
I can't imagine a few of them wouldn't stop by.
And also, I'm a member of Grand Sons of Italy.
Oh,
my family, they have Italian roots. So
yes,
I'm a member, a proud member.
I love it.
With my matzo ball soup in it, I'm ready. You're funny. The Italian Hall, by the way, we're going to go next year. We're going to go this year because we're going to cover your event, and also we're going to be doing the San Jose Italian Festival next year.
Okay.
Isn't that wonderful? Keep it
alive,
Cameron.
Yeah, I'm good for the city.
Look at you.
I'm telling you, man.
By the way,
he's the creator of the meatball, the comedy.
Oh, meatball.
The meatballs of comedy, America's funniest Italian comedian.
That's right. There you go. So we'll be there next Friday. We will be there. When is it? Sunday. But we're going to see if we can set up at the restaurant where we can do a live show.
Okay, cool.
Oh, my God.
You better have good pizza.
Yeah.
You better have good pizza.
Do whatever you like, yeah.
Just kidding.
Cannoli. I need a decent cannoli.
Cannoli. What about cannolis?
Oh, there you go.
And rum babas.
There you go.
Rum babas.
Don't you love
rum babas? Oh, delicious.
I would like that all the meatballs, they came here, they were here specifically. We have a show tonight, but everybody wanted to say hi.
Oh, say hello to them. Say hello. We love you all.
You know who had the best rum?
Is that all right? Everybody say Nicolosis. Hi, Cameron. Hi,
Cameron. Hey, get in, bro. Thank you so much.
Buonasera. Buonasera a tutti.
Thank you very much. We will be there next week. Anyway, real quick.
It's going to be amazing.
It's going to be a great show. We'll be there next week, and everyone, please come to it. And thank you so much for calling, and we appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Cameron. God bless. You guys have a good night. And Tendani, 100 years.
You do. Thank you so much.
Tendani.
And the Jewish people say, so what are they saying?
They say,
translator.
So it's leben wir 150 Jahre.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, you got a great show. Tell us about your show.
Well, we're doing this time a show by Sam Bobrick, who was a comedy writer back in the 60s and 70s. He wrote for some of the top television shows at that time.
He wrote for Get Smart.
He wrote Get Smart, Andy Griffith, Gomer Pyle, Happy Days. And so he decided to become a playwright. And his famous play that he wrote was Norman, Is That You?
But yes.
I remember that.
Yeah. And now we've decided to do his play, New York Water. Which is a crazy play about two people who meet each other on a blind date. And decide to get married the first time they meet each other because they hate New York City so much because of the brown water coming out of the pipes.
Oh, God.
And the subway smells and this and that.
That sounds like Flint, Michigan.
No. Yeah.
Oh,
right.
God, poor
and then
Flint,
they decide they're
yeah.
going to go to the they decide to go to Davenport, Iowa to get away from New York, but they can't live there because it's too quiet.
Yes, it's too quiet.
So
not Hamishon. Not Hamishon.
Right. They go to, and then not they wind Hamishon. Up in L.A., and that's where they go crazy. And it's a wonderful play. It's very funny. And I got two wonderful actors in it. Ross Benjamin, who's the son of Richard Benjamin.
Richard Benjamin.
Paul Apprentice.
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah.
Right.
And Bridget Flannery, who's a fabulous actress.
She's not Jewish.
No, she... Okay. Listen, we're universal when it comes to stuff like that.
I'm getting it.
Yeah, but and they're just absolutely
I want you to put her in a film.
I don't do movies. I do theater.
Theater. Want to do theater?
Theater's different.
It is different.
I did theater in college.
There you go. No
did
theater.
You like it?
And I did theater from age 10 to 16, and then I did theater in college from like 19 to 22.
Can't you? You know what we can do? Well, all right. I think we'll put Amber in. She'd be a Jewish wife.
I like doing musicals in theater.
Well, you might not see a lot of musicals here in Los Angeles. This Equity contract that they just came up with.
Oh, yeah, I heard about that.
Oh, it's just terrible.
What's going on?
It's terrible.
We're members of SAG. You know what SAG made us do? Sign because of your radio industry. We're members of SAG.
Okay.
And the people look at us and go, like, did you pay your dues? I said, what the hell? Get a service. And, because I have insurance. through SAG.
Okay, good.
So maybe with the Obamacare, I probably won't have insurance from SAG. But anyway, your play,
it performs.
I want plays still to happen. They're my favorite.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Live theater is wonderful.
Live theater,
I know, because
is
then
the
there's
greatest.
No excuses
the address
for the actors.
Where are we playing? No, we open October 21st.
Kids love live
okay
theater.
We open October 21st, which okay is next Saturday. We okay run through December 17th.
Okay.
We perform at the Pico Playhouse. That's
oh, yeah,
10508 Pico Boulevard. And we run Friday, Saturday at 8 p.m., Sundays at 3. And people, come on out. You're going to listen, we're living in crazy times right now.
Exactly.
We need a good laugh. And this show
most
is
assuredly
very funny. Very funny.
Too many people are cranky and nasty to each other.
Right.
We need to laugh. We need to be together
and
in a group
fun
and have fun and enjoy. Because otherwise,
that's what we're doing after the show. We're having
really
fun.
I would be really sad if the LA Opera didn't exist anymore. I think
no,
really
LA Opera's great.
Well,
that
listen,
they're having the season.
They open. So
believe me, they're going to be.
I live
they're
about
okay
two blocks from the Opera.
they got money to burn. In the meantime, I don't have that kind of money to burn.
Go
to the show.
What about the Jewish West Coast Theater? That's what we're really talking about. What about this? What about that?
Well, the West Coast Jewish Theater has been around since 1993. We're living on string beans, but you know what? Every show we do is a big hit.
Good,
the critics
good
love it. That we do wonderful
good
work. And
that's
please come on out.
We don't got money to burn, but we got Beverly Hills, and that's
and
all
we got
that
bagels.
Counts.
That's right. Anyway, and what restaurants are by you? Because Jewish
yeah, what restaurants
by
are by
street
you? People want to eat, and then they want to
there's
watch the
Factor's
show
Deli. There's Lenny's Deli.
Oh.
I mean, they
what's
got
the cross street near you?
Well, actually, it's Rancho Park. We're
Rancho
right
Park
across
okay
from Rancho
that's
Park.
That's where they held the Jewish okay Israeli festival.
Well, listen,
you can get yourself a nice kosher meal. You can go see a
that's
play.
It.
That's right. There you go.
Are you
going to
kosher Ashkenazi?
Yes. Hey, listen, you come and visit. Come and join me.
Zygozoid.
Everybody, come and join.
Exactly. I'm going to teach you a word. Zygozoid.
No. That's right.
Anyway,
come and join.
With our remaining seconds on LA Talk Radio, I want to thank all our guests.
Thank
Cassandra
you
Elliott.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cassandra will be part of our ensemble.
And I'm Howard Teichman.
Howard,
I'm the artistic director of the West Coast Jewish Theater and the director. Come on out, see the play. You'll really love it.
And I'll give you good an almond cookie.
Anyway,
that's right. And I'm
oh, wait, there's a lot of Chinese restaurants near us, too.
Okay.
So you're going to have a good eat there.
By the way, Amber Martinez is my buddy. So
ahead,
we got to take care
Martinez
of her next week.
Check me out on imdb.me/Amber Martinez.
There you go.
Yay.
And then you'll talk more next week about your meetings.
Oh, that meeting. Oh, my God.
I'm going to have a guy who went on television who said he was an alien that was brought back. We're going to interview him
oh,
live.
Oh, yes. Okay, good. Good, good.
I want you to
you mean he's a
man
dude playing a dude playing another dude?
No, he was captured, and they released him a couple weeks ago, and he was drunk when the cops caught him, but he was saying a lot of things about time travel. So
oh,
this
yeah
guy's real.
Okay, good.
So we're going to get him on. So I want to thank everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. And we're live from Los Angeles.
Yay!
Yeah!
So great, everybody. And have a wonderful weekend.
Woo! Woo! Woo!
And we'll take photos and then we're going to see how much we get done.
Oh, my God.
That was great.
You're listening to
What
Is
That?
We need lots of different points of view.